Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay. Every week we chat with influencers to see what makes them tick. And this week we have a conference preview of the Social Media and Email Marketing Conference happening in September at the Hotel Nikko in San Francisco. And I believe we have somebody on the line. Hello?
Hi, Jennifer. This is Mark Schmuen.
Hi, Mark. Mark is with Constant Contact and one of the people that will be speaking at the conference. I apologize that we're starting a bit late. There were some technical difficulties starting the show. Mark, thank you for hanging out.
Hey, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to be speaking with you today.
Great. So let's talk about what you're going to be talking about at the conference so that folks that won't be able to make it get some sort of sense of what, you know, how you'll be approaching the topic of social media and email.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me start off by saying that I am the general manager of social media for Constant Contact. And for those of you that don't know who Constant Contact is, we are a leading provider of do-it-yourself online marketing solutions specifically targeted for small businesses, individuals, and nonprofits. So whether it be email marketing, social media marketing, promoting your events, or mining customer feedback through survey marketing, we offer really easy-to-use and affordable solutions to help you be successful with your customer engagement. So our core customer is the small business owner and nonprofit, and they're very, very busy people. A lot of the established rules of engagement for social media don't always apply to them. And so what I'd really like to share are the insights that we're seeing with small businesses leveraging social media marketing. What are their unique challenges? What are the unique opportunities they have? And I'm really excited to share a lot of success stories from small businesses. And I also really, at the core of it, want to demonstrate how our customers are leveraging both social media marketing and email marketing together to really get incredible results.
So would you say, do you see them really as two different things? How do you categorize social media versus email marketing?
Well, that's a great question. What we're telling our customers is that social media marketing is really about establishing relationships. It's an investment in relationships. You don't sell through social media. You connect with people, you establish trust, you build friendships, and then once you establish those connections, it's important for you to collect information from those relationships that you're building so that you can then take the conversation into a different format where you can really dive deeper into the relationship and ultimately get to the sale.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're trying to teach our customers is about the customer engagement lifecycle, from connecting with customers, acquiring them, all the way to engaging with them and keeping them as repeat customers. So we know email marketing works really well in terms mm-hmm. of helping you continue to engage your customers, and that's so important because it's very expensive to acquire customers and mm-hmm. it's worth the investment to try to retain them, and email marketing is a great way to do that. But we're also finding that social media marketing is a great way to meet new customers, acquire those customers, and build healthier relationships with them.
So that's interesting because you're sort of the kind of categorization that you're talking about. Tell us, is there a case study that you can point to that sort of like the seminal case study that talks about the sort of difference in the relationship to people of either medium?
Well, yeah, I have a lot of case studies. One thing that's really interesting is that we heard from a customer who runs a massage therapy clinic that she recently used Groupon and had the most amazing results from Groupon. In fact, she got around 500 people to sign up for the Groupon, and she was basically giving half off an hour massage therapy. And it was great. She got all these customers coming in into the store, and it basically locked up her schedule for the next month. But the problem is she's only making so much from those customers, and if she's not able to re-engage those customers after their first visit, then she really isn't getting as much out of her Groupon experience as she would like. And so what she started doing is collecting the email addresses anytime a customer comes in, and then she's re-engaging those customers through email to get them back into the store.
And Groupon is I believe it's a coupon site, right?
Yeah, Groupon is a group buying site. Basically, the way it works is a business can put out a special deal. In the example of this massage therapy clinic, they were offering 50% off their normal rates, which are typically around $80. So people were coming in, getting an hour massage for $40. But in order for...
Fantastic. I would sign up for that.
Yeah, no kidding. So, it's no surprise that it got such an incredible response. But this small business owner, really isn't making a lot of profit off of giving an hour massage for $40. So if she's not able to bring that customer back in, then her effort wasn't really worth the investment. So the
acquisition was important, but the retention, if it doesn't pay off in terms of repeat business, then it wasn't really worth it in the first place.
You can easily make that argument. And what we're saying to our customers is that social media marketing is effective. Groupon is part of social media, and it really brought customers into the store. But in order to build deeper relationships and create repeat business with your customers, you have to continue to engage them. And social media and email marketing both do that very well. I like to say that social media is really the new word of mouth in the digital age. It's really the objective of the marketer to get their customers to tell their friends. That's nothing new. What social media is doing is facilitating that, making it so much easier. And what's really incredible to me is to see what our customers are doing with email marketing to turn their passionate customers into fans and followers through social media. And so with our products today, customers are able to let their email subscribers know that, hey, we're on Facebook, come follow us on Twitter. And then when they receive an email message, we enable them to share that message across their social networks. So it's really about creating great customer experience and developing passionate customers. And then having your passionate customers engage with you through social media and through email marketing and providing them with great content that they're then willing to share with their friends. And through that sharing, through that peer influence, it's going to help you turn more strangers into friends and then more friends into customers.
I'm going to jump in just to say I think we have one of our conference organizers on the line, if I'm not mistaken.
Hello, yes, this is Murray Newlands. Thank you very much. Sorry, I had a technical issues earlier. I went away and had my dinner and have come back, having quit that trip. Right back, and I jumped right back in to hear Mark talking about a massage therapy. So
yes.
I was glad the conversation was going well.
Yes, the massage therapy example I love because it's such a down-to-earth example, Mark, that it's a great example because I think so many people can relate to that and can imagine, going to a site one time and, from an email and maybe not going back again. Since we have Murray on the line, just quickly want to jump in and you've been on the show before, so if you could remind people who you are and your role here in the conference coming up.
So my name is Murray Newlands. We're running a conference on the 17th of September in San Francisco called Social Email, which is all about social media and email marketing and the integration of the two. And really, we want to look at case studies such as those brought up by Mark and give the opportunity for those who are doing it to share their experiences, as well as those who want to know more about how to integrate social media and email, to give them the opportunity to learn from experts. So we have a range of people everyone from Brian Solis, who is really well known in the field, has done a lot of writing, commenting about email and social media, through to people like Mark, who are kind of providing case studies and how-to tips as to exactly how to do it, so that if you're a marketing manager and you're listening to this, or you have an email newsletter and you want to know, right, how do I integrate the two and how do I really benefit from it, you can come along to the day and you can find out what other people have done and really take some things home.
Very exciting. I want to go back to Mark really quick. And Marie, feel free to jump in. I know as an Englishman that can be difficult, but if anyone can do it, you can.
Thank you.
Don't be too polite. So, Mark, turning back to you, because I know we won't have you for too long, but feel free to stay as well. I really, you know, in my mind when the conference was first happening, had kind of a mixed feelings about sort of separating email from the from being social, because to the extent that we all get email on our phones, like we get almost like we get a text message, it kind of is social in a way because we're receiving it in a different manner. Do you find that that happens with anybody else or is that something that you've thought about over at Constant Contact?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of dialogues going out there. Is email marketing really part of social media marketing? Is it the first iteration of social media marketing?
Right.
You know, Seth Godin said that the objective of the marketer is to turn strangers into friends and friends into customers. That sounds a heck of a lot like social media marketing. But when he said that, that was 1999 in his book, Permission Marketing.
Mm-hmm.
1999, Friendster didn't even exist. MySpace might have just been an idea. Mark Zuckerberg was still on the playground. So, you know, you can argue that, yeah, email really is the first social media platform out there because it does facilitate two-way conversation. But ultimately what Seth was talking about is interruptive marketing and permission marketing. The reason email works so well is because, one, a customer is telling you, hey, I like what you have to say, I like what you sell, I'm interested in hearing more. So they're actually anticipating and expecting you to deliver some sort of information to them. But what's so great about email is in a world just full of noise, the email inbox is a quiet place. So it does a great job of helping you reach the inbox, reach that customer, and get their attention. Our customers know that it works because it's easy to do, it's measurable, and it drives results. I think the way one of my customers put it, he said, look, when I press the send button, the phone starts to ring. And that's ultimately what we're all out there to do, is to get more people to our website, get more people into our store, ultimately drive sales. And email is great at helping you close in on that sale. But how do you get those customers there in the first place? How do you get their permission in the first place? And social media is opening up all these wonderful opportunities for you to actually meet strangers, find common ground, and turn those strangers into friends. But it all starts with your passionate customers. It all starts with you delivering a great quality experience and encouraging your passionate customers to start talking about you, to lead their friends back to you, and then ultimately you connect and then drive a deeper relationship through email marketing. So it's all one fluid cycle to me.
Right. So, Murray, I would love to get your take on this as a conference organizer in terms of the way you think about the difference, if there is one in your mind, between email marketing and social media.
I think I've read, in organizing this conference, we've been doing a lot of reading around the topic, and there have been a number of blog posts, a number of commenters just saying that social media is going to kill email, and email, you know, will vanish before we know it. But actually, we started the conference looking at a quote by Brian Solis, who said that email is the largest untapped social network in the world. And really, if you look at all social media, it's just I look at things like Facebook and Twitter really as just platforms for communication. And email is just another platform for communication. How that goes from being simple text messages back and forth to longer text messages back and forth, and then integration of HTML and our integration of probably one of the things is to sort of travel between different social media bands, such as travel between Facebook and email, and between email and Facebook. And really, I see it as it's just another stream, another channel, and a continuity of and continuum of communication with customers, whether you're doing it within Facebook or whether you're doing it within email. But it also brings across its own and unique challenges in sort of looking at that. For example, I was speaking to somebody who's unfortunately not going to be there. I was speaking to Brandon at Lashback, who monitor spam and unsubscribes. And he was saying that it's a very interesting question as to if someone in the US, if someone unsubscribes from your email list, then you're not supposed to communicate with them via email. However, supposing they then sign up to your Facebook group or your LinkedIn group, and you then start communicating with them via email, via LinkedIn or Facebook, are you then, for example, in breach of the CAN-SPAM Act? And do you need to have a global unsubscribe which includes those? Equally, there are some great case studies which you're going to have. Obviously, Mark's going to be presenting some as to people who've managed to leverage either Twitter or Facebook into their email campaigns, or whether they've managed to leverage their email campaigns to grow and promote communication within Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, etc. So I really see it as part of the integrated mix of communication, and really we want to educate people as to how they can integrate those mixes.
You know, I agree with everything Murray said, and I'll tell you that we're now in an age where we're back to where the customer is king, and they want choices. And some of your customers want to engage with you through the email inbox, some on Facebook, some on Twitter. And so it's important for you as a marketer to be on all those channels and have a presence where your customers are. So it's okay if your customer unsubscribes from your email newsletter and instead decides to engage with you through your Facebook page. And we recognize that. So, you know, one of the many social media features that we've integrated with our own product is a simple share tool where when you send out an email newsletter, it's automatically going to syndicate that content to your Facebook stream, to your Twitter feed, and other networks. That way you're able to reach your customers with that message no matter where they are.
That's a great option. I know for me, one of the things I struggle with is I use a reader, but there are certain things that I, you know, I went through and I unsubscribed from, and I'm finding myself resubscribing to. So it's kind of telling me, I guess, what is the most high value content in terms of, you know, I need to look at this first thing in the morning, as opposed to my reader, where I may look at it first thing in the morning, but it just feels so daunting with all of the streams coming in, and I could get stuck on it for so long. And there's the sharing feature of the add a note or whatever the functionality is of the particular reader that you use, that it's almost easier just to kind of segregate the kinds of content that you're getting in as your daily news feed in that manner. So I don't know if there are other user experiences that you can talk about that are like that, where people are struggling with preferences between email and maybe something that's considered more social. And when I guess for all intents and purposes, the difference that seems most obvious in terms of the difference between social media that maybe does, maybe doesn't include email is the fact that people have a perception that it's a one-way exchange. You send an email, and then there's a choice to share information back. But actually, that's not the case. As you were just pointing out, there are new tools and technology coming along all the time that feed into these social networks. So I don't know. I don't know if you have any thoughts about just generally, how people, use email marketing and specifically content lists and in content as a way to obviously generate interest and excitement around a brand, concept, idea, or don't.
So, with social media, there is a lot of noise out there. And if you're primarily communicating with your customers through social media, you're competing against a lot of other communications that are coming at your customers in real time, constantly updating. You know, what is the real value of someone liking your Facebook page? You think it's great they like your page. That way, when you post stuff to Facebook, it's going to show up in their stream. Well, a lot of people forget about the Facebook algorithm, and the average Facebook user has over 200 friends, and they've liked around 60 pages. Well, the Facebook algorithm is set up so that you are only going to see news feeds from the friends and pages that you engage with on a frequent basis. So if your customer likes you one time, and then they don't come back and come back to your page or share your content or comment on it, you're going to fall off of their feed. So it's really important for what we're telling our customers is when you get someone to like your page, make sure you have that join my mailing list box on your Facebook page so that you can then collect that information and engage with them through email, which will help you rise above the noise. That's really what email does such a great job at doing. But, of course, you want to leverage the word-of-mouth benefit that you get through social media. So with our email campaigns, you can connect your Facebook and Twitter account and let your customers know that you're there. But also, we have social sharing within the email. So if you received an email newsletter from me, you would actually be able to like it. You'd be able to share it with your friends on Facebook. You'd be able to tweet it. And that way, I can benefit from your network effect, from you telling your friends about us. They come back to our Facebook page. They like us. If they want to engage with us there or on Twitter or through email, we give them those options.
Interesting. Murray, any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think, looking through and discussing things with the different speakers, there's a recent Nielsen study that 90% of people trust recommended sources by other people. Mark Kristen from Strongwell is going to be talking about the benefits of adding sharing within campaigns, and how if you're involved in email marketing, and I know that some of the stuff that Mark's been doing, if you're adding these social sharing elements to your campaigns, they're going to be more successful. And if people share the content from your newsletters on Facebook and on Twitter and on other social networks, then your actual messaging is going to go a lot further, and there have been a number of case studies where people have actually grown their email lists. People have forwarded to friends who've been much more likely to sign up to the newsletters, and that's going to mean your marketing as a whole is more successful. And if you're every company out there is in a race and competition with other people, and if your competitors are involved in social sharing within their email and you're not, or you can do it more successfully than them, then you're going to outcompete the other competition. And this really is about trying to say, okay, well, where are we on that curve? How do we make the most of our marketing budget? And how do we optimize the communication with our customers? So, I think it's really important to look at, okay, just what's happening, how to do it easily, and how to make sure that you are staying as far ahead of the curve as possible. And I know that obviously you're talking about how it's going to impact, Jennifer, you're talking about how it impacts different generations and how to look at that. I think is important.
Yeah, one factoid that came out even in the last couple of weeks in terms of research is that there was a survey of college students in the United States, and most surveyed, the overwhelming majority was something like 70-something percent, said that they felt that email was too slow, which I think is really interesting when you consider that, you know, you could send an email and receive it on your phone, and it's a very similar experience to getting a text message. But again, that two-way communication doesn't perhaps happen as quickly, and there is, you know, maybe this, you know, there's a lot of thought about, you know, how quickly you might respond to an email because there's so much more, you know, more that you can write than a text message. What's interesting, too, about the whole phone concept is that the actual number of characters that you can write in a text message really informed how long or how many characters Twitter has allowed. So you have another interesting element there as well, in terms of character limits and character count, that, you know, may or may not be relevant depending on the audience that you're trying to serve. So I think that, you know, that's another piece of the pie that's kind of interesting, where you have, you know, one kind of communication method impacting yet another, you know, in terms of email, which is, you know, I think we've long taken for granted. And I think the quote that you have from Brian Solis on the conference page kind of says it all about being, you know, possibly the largest untapped tool.
So you know, I've been in these conversations a bunch about, you know, the relevancy of email. And it's really interesting, having moved from Texas out to the Silicon Valley area for a company I started called Nutshell Mail, which is a social media marketing tool designed basically to help you keep track of all your activity. But the way it works is by organizing all your activity into one snapshot email and delivering it to your inbox. And I joined Constant Contact after they acquired our company. But we really fundamentally believe that email is still the killer application. And it was so interesting coming out here and seeing so much resistance to a tool that was built off of the inbox. Why not create another destination website or another client for me to download? And, you know, it's fascinating to me that so many technologists and so many early adopters, for lack of better words, have blinders on to how the rest of the world are consuming information and utilizing technology. The fact is, most of us are really busy people, and we don't have time to hang out on Facebook and Twitter every day, but we do want to be part of that conversation. So the thing is, if stuff's posted to Facebook and Twitter, I'm often going to miss stuff if I just rely on visiting those sites. But I'm always checking my email inbox every day, and that's just how the majority of the world still consumes their information. It's still the email inbox. And there was a study done a couple months ago where they asked a bunch of college students, well, what would you be less willing to give up for 1 week? And they asked them, your television, your email, Facebook, instant messaging, texting. And what surprised a lot of people was that the two things that they were not willing to give up were email and texting. It wasn't Facebook. It wasn't television. And I think that shocked a lot of people. There's also studies out there that are showing that, you know, social media is going to reduce email usage. But the studies actually show that the more engaged you are with social media, the more time you end up spending in your email inbox. And perhaps that's because the social networks themselves understand that email is the ultimate killer app. That's why they're sending you all those notifications to your email inbox to get you back into them.
Mark, I'm aware that I think we've been joined by Brian Solis and possibly Luke Brindley-Jones as well. Guys, are you on the line?
I am here. This is Brian.
Hello, Brian. Brian Solis. And we all love your book, Engage. So we know you from Engage and Future Works, and thank you so much for being able to join, Lane. I'm sorry for the technical delay. I'm not sure if Luke is called in as well, or if I'm just seeing Murray pushed down in the list. But Brian, I wanted to get your take on the original question, which that I had posed, which is, you know, what is the difference, if there is one, between, or what's your point of view on the difference between social media and email marketing?
Well, what's the difference? Well, they're pretty vast. I had heard you use a quote earlier about talking about the idea that I had said that, you know, email represents largely one of the largest untapped social networks in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And what we are seeing is that indeed email is sort of the hub of communication, whether it's, you know, just for one-on-one communication, or as well as sort of staying connected to your social networks. It is mostly how you learn about, you know, new activity or new updates or new invitations or new friend requests, et cetera. But, you know, one of the interesting things, too, is to sort of look ahead at, you know, how it is that we're going to use email to connect with not just one another, but also within our relevant interest groups. And if you look at, say, for example, Flowtown, which is a company that just recently launched, and how they're connecting, say, email addresses with social networks and your ability to sort of connect with individuals via their methods of, preference, it all comes down to some type of inbox. And this is what I find fascinating, right? I think if you look back a couple of years ago, Michael Arrington of TechCrunch used to, sound off on his blog to Facebook to try to get them to sort of make Facebook's inbox really become a real inbox, as opposed to just this thing that you also have to visit, you know, and if you look at Twitter as well, you also now have to visit your direct message queue, because, you know, people are so used to firing off these, you know, direct messages to one another that now you have this distributed inbox. And what I would love to see is some sort of solution that allows us to just really, like, this whole idea of having one phone number, that we have one inbox, because it's not going away anytime soon. And what we are going to see is that email marketing is only going to become more pervasive. It's just going to expand its reach as well to reach you as an individual wherever your inbox of preference is. You know, if that's Facebook, if that's Twitter, or if that's just your, you know, Gmail or Outlook or what have you.
Mm-hmm. So one thing that I think is really interesting is, you know, if you think about mobile technology, and maybe Murray, you can chime in on this as well, being in the UK, I always think of phones being so ahead of the US, basically outside of the US in general. I now have the ability with my rather crappy BlackBerry to be able to, see actual direct messages and at replies in the stream of, along with email and Facebook messages. So my collected single message box is my phone. That's the one place where I can see all of my collected inbox come in, and of course that you interact with them in different ways. But it's kind of interesting that technology is you know, has advanced in this way that it has maybe that solution happen, but we don't really look at it that way. You know, that this vision of the single inbox, and maybe is mobile the solution to having this distributed inbox that you mentioned. I don't know. Any thoughts about how mobile fits in?
I have to say that I think I'm going to disappoint you in that in the UK we have BlackBerry and we have iPhone, and we normally get our appliances sometime after you do. So sadly, Europe, as far as I can see anyway, in the UK we're not any further ahead. And I also would I'm ashamed to admit maybe that I'm using an iPhone and I don't get all my messages in one. I suppose I get everything by email, but only email coming into my phone inbox. So I think your use of mobile technology is advanced of mine.
Maybe just see the way that I set it up, yeah, and by accident,
yeah.
Probably.
I think that increasingly everyone has more and more messages. And as Brian was saying, they're coming in via Facebook, via Twitter, and almost if you weren't going to launch a new social network, you would have to fit it in with email now, really, because people just would struggle to want to have another application where they were going to get more messages. It's probably the danger of you can really only have so many contacts. So obviously what Nutshell Mail is doing and being able to bring everything in to central places is really important, and I think that's a fantastic opportunity for everyone as a user using that technology. But it also comes back to, I ran a conference here a few months ago in London, and Brian was talking about the fact that not only are we getting more communication, but what we really want to be able to do is to segment our communication into different communities, different groups of friends and different conversations, and only get that messaging. So we will be, as consumers, will become even more insistent that we really only get the messaging that we talk about. And my example of that was when the World Cup was on a few months ago. I have lots of friends who I like to hear their conversations, but when they're talking about football, soccer, I have no interest in it, and I don't want to listen to it at all. But when they're talking about other things, I really want to engage in it. So I think it's going to be a question not just of streams and things like Nutshell Mail, which are able to, through Constant Contact Now, which are able to draw communications together, but also to draw those communications down into types of conversation that we want to hear.
I think Luke has joined us now. Luke, are you with us?
Hi there. Yeah, can you hear
me? Hi. Yes, can hear you just fine. So I just want to invite you to jump in as we continue the conversation. And I want to go back to Brian for just a moment and bring Mark in possibly as well. Mark, don't feel shy to jump in. But since we know we definitely have probably the most limited time with Brian, I wanted to get a sense of, for those that won't be able to attend the conference, of what you might specifically be talking about and addressing at the conference.
Yeah, me too.
You're still
sorry, Murray. It's just a joke, Murray.
Okay.
I really am going to talk about the concept of how sort of email is a very important central part of our social experiences, and it really connects everything, not just social networking, but just networking, right? It is our hub still today for how we connect with one another, right? So if I meet you at a conference last night, I'll probably send you an email and tell you how wonderful it was, and we might connect on LinkedIn and Facebook. And, you know, look, the reality is that all of this stuff is going to become distributed. But, you know, also it's going to evolve quite quickly, in the sense that we're already starting to see some very sophisticated software adapt to social, much in the same way that we we basically market to individuals right into their inbox. We can do the same thing in Twitter and Facebook now. And so it represents both a dangerous and also a wonderful time ahead. And this is why, you know, one of my themes for this conference is going to be, look, how do we use this technology that's going to start to automate social outreach, if you will, much in the same way that we've done with mass marketing and email. But how do we use it in a way that just keeps us relevant, right, so that we don't, you know, trigger unfollows, so that we don't trigger unfriending or unliking, and really take this opportunity to use a very powerful medium that's before us and use it as a way to get people excited about getting a note or a message or an update from us, as opposed to dreading it.
Interestingly, when your book came out, I don't think I received any email marketing from you. So in terms of your own use, or your most recent, well, the last two books, actually. So in terms of your own use, so there's the business perspective and there's sort of the personal brand. So people know who you are, Brian Solis, you know, social media, you know, cutting edge guru, whatever it is that they sort of category they put you in, but you're a name. And I think it's interesting to look at that sort of idea of the individual influencer and how they do or don't use email. So I just wanted to make sure that we covered off on that I was able to ask you, because we had gotten the question in, you know, how you use email personally to promote or let people know about, you know, anything that you're working on that's of high interest.
Yeah, actually, that's a really interesting point. I did send one email, and it wasn't necessarily to a traditional database of contacts. I actually didn't have one. I just sort of created a pseudo one of just friends and family and professional associates over the years, mostly because I was sort of afraid of using that channel to market a book that was all about direct engagement. And so I was a little bit leery about using a sort of a mass marketing tool to promote something
else. Yeah.
Yeah, so I did send a special note that just kind of said, hey, sorry, this is going to be the only time you see something like this. But I did, I have heard, and I will say this, that every new media author that I know swears by their email lists. In fact, they have spent significant time, resources, and money over the last year or so creating from scratch these email databases because they do find that they're incredibly effective. And in fact, many swear that they're more effective than the social marketing techniques that they're using. And so I have been inspired to start looking into building my own email database as well that I would use sort of sparingly and lovingly, of course. But it is, you know, as much as we hate it, we are still showing that it works. As consumers, we show that it works, and many of us are still clicking to opt in to many engagements. And you will most likely see an email from me that says, look, you know, yeah, my book's been out for a few months, but I would really love the opportunity to introduce it to you and why it can help you.
Well,
yeah.
I get emails from BrianSolis.com quite frequently. First of all, I'm a huge fan of Brian Solis, and he knows that. And so I follow Brian on Twitter. I've liked Brian Solis on Facebook, and I've also subscribed to your email newsletter from BrianSolis.com. And here's the deal, is you're putting out a lot of awesome content, and I'm not necessarily seeing it on Facebook, and I'm not necessarily seeing it on Twitter because I follow so many people, I like so many people, and like so many of us using social media, you know, there's the 99-1 rule. 90% of us are just voyeurs. We're just reading. 9% of us will comment, like, and share stuff. 1% of us are actually contributing the content. Because I might not be commenting on your stuff on Facebook, your stuff that's posted to Facebook doesn't necessarily show up in my stream. But it does show up in my inbox. And like so many of us, I've been trained. You know, I'm checking my email all the time. I don't miss anything. Maybe I don't open up every single email I get. I do for Brian Solis, but, you know, not from every newsletter I subscribe to, but I at least know it's there. I know it's there, and it's there when I want it. So, you know, when we talk about permission marketing, a lot of people say, oh, it's just spam. Well, it's not spam. People said, I'm interested in what you have to say, and I want to make sure I can be updated. But you're not always sending stuff to me when I want it. And so a lot of people like to call it bacon. Right? It's stuff that you want, just you don't want right now, but you know it's there for when you want it, and you don't miss the fact that it was posted.
Right, and I think, Brian, weren't you Blogger of the Year last year? I thought you won an award for your blog, I think.
Yeah, I did, yes. But, you know, here's the thing that I joke and say that I'm my own worst marketer, but, you know, I haven't taken my RSS email feed to use in any other form of permission marketing at all. And I know that some do. I know that some take those emails and then use it as a way to, say, promote. Like, I could have used that email list to promote the book, but I haven't. I created one from scratch because in that regard, in that exchange, I'm just hypersensitive. And the fact that someone, you know, who subscribed to the blog to get those articles and to suddenly receive something outside of what it is that they opted in for, you know, relationships are so delicate, right? And individuals now are becoming so important and influential in their own right, right? As their networks start to expand, they start to realize, like, hey, wait a minute. I'm not just a consumer and I'm not just sitting here waiting for you. I have the power of influence. I influence my social graph and my networks. And so it's not that we have to stop permission marketing. It's just that we have to take it a little bit more seriously and look at how it is that we can sort of not just convert click-throughs, you know, at some ridiculously low percentage. It's actually an opportunity to reintroduce a whole new sort of significance into our approach. And you know, will I use that database in the future? I don't know. I'm actually trying to just create one from scratch. It'll probably have some crossover, but I will be I can tell you this. If anybody receives an email from me in regards to anything that I'm doing, I bet you the one thing that they'll tell you is if they happen to see it, because everybody's, you know, always on the verge of filing email bankruptcy. If they happen to see it, I think what everybody will say is, you know what, he actually took the time to make that message sort of matter, and hopefully that helps. Because I've got an inbox full every morning of just some of the most ridiculous email, you know, blasts that I've seen from companies trying to get my attention. And it's like we lost this art form of actually trying to get someone to pay attention to you. And we try to stuff so much into these notes, into these messages, when no one is actually diving into them. We all know, we're consumers, we're all very busy people, and we forget that, you know, if it doesn't work for us, it's not going to work for someone else. So how do we refine this into an art and science based on the reality of the attention span today? And I think that, you know, that's a big message that I'm going to bring to this upcoming conference. But I think, you know, we need to learn from, you know, Twitter. We need to learn from, you know, this whole micro-messaging movement and micro-blogging, that you can, you know, I guess there's this saying that I have, you know, through brevity, there's clarity. And I do believe that you can refine this art form into something that starts to renew interest and action that happens after they get something in the inbox. Why not make someone actually like the fact that you contacted them?
And I think
fascinating, actually. I was just gonna chime in there. I mean,
sure.
One of the reasons that we put the conference on is coming up is just the fact that my background is social media and developing social networks, actually. So I spent quite a lot of time a couple of years ago analyzing different forms of messaging as to how we could try and converge those into a mobile handset. And I remember you were just mentioning this as I came into the conversation. But one of the things about that we realized was actually, you know, certain types of messages are much better at certain goals, at achieving certain goals. So you don't want to send a certain type of message for a certain type of outcome, whereas another one would do really, really well. So we actually decided with the application that we were building at the time not to converge messages because it didn't make a lot of sense for the consumer perspective. And actually, it's interesting, just the point that Brian was making there about making the message count. I was listening to the radio actually today about the fact that the recession's on and people are, you know, sending out thousands and thousands of CVs, you know, like sending, you know, 20, 30 CVs a day via email. And none of them will ever get read because they haven't actually, you know, put the time and effort to make them remarkable. And I think that's the key thing with email as well. If you're going to send an email, make it as personal as you can and make it as remarkable as you can instantly. Otherwise, it will just disappear.
I think we're thinking a similar way because the reason, Brian, that I brought up your blog being recognized for high-quality content is that I think that, you know, if I was to receive an email from you, it would be of high value. So that makes all the difference in the world. If it's relevant to me and it's of high value. So, for example, if you promoted your book through, you know, as an example, I would imagine, this is my guess, but if you provided an excerpt of a chapter or something like that where people really get a flavor of the book and you know, basically get a you know, that could be their standalone, you know, way of interacting with the book, but they basically got a free piece of content as opposed to just a blast that the book came at. It would be that's one way that you could sort of differentiate in terms of the quality of the email or the kind of email that you're sending out. It would be much less, it would be perceived much less as spam, for example.
You know, this is Mark. I just wanted to chime in because I think Brian introduced one of the most important concepts, which is what you say matters. And that's one of the things that our customers struggle with all the time is the content. What do I write about? And it's really interesting to see how social media is actually facilitating that and making it much easier for people to deliver really quality content in their email communications. So with Facebook, you can post something out there. Twitter, you can tweet about something. And you can actually see how that your followers responded to that. If they liked it, if they shared it, if they retweeted it, then you know you said something of substance. And perhaps you can leverage that content for your email communication that might appeal to that same audience that didn't see you on Facebook or Twitter.
Exactly. And Brian, just so everyone knows, had to leave, so he's left us for now. This would be a good time, I think, to bring in our other conference organizer, Luke, who's been patiently waiting on the line, and I want to make sure that we bring you into the conversation. Luke, you want to give a little bit of background about how you fit into the puzzle of the conference that's coming up September 17th?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I mean, yeah, as I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, my background is developing social networks, and I've been helping companies in the UK to get their heads around social media for nearly 10 years now. And I've been, one of the things that when I hooked up with Murray and we set up Influence People was the fact that Murray's background is much more, he's been using, email in very powerful ways for years and years. And me being from a social media background, social media purist, if you like, I was very skeptical, actually, when we first met, about the integration of the two and how they could work together. And he actually, the other events we've put on have been things like, social media marketing, monitoring social media we're doing in Boston, New York, San Francisco, the next couple of months. But he actually convinced me that there was this real overlap and that perhaps there were people who were getting so wound up and caught up in the social media bandwagon that they were ignoring one of the most fundamental marketing tools. And the really important sort of integration of the two. So that's why we put the event on. And I guess, my role with it, with Murray, is because I've put lots of conferences and stuff on before, we sort of share out the roles between us in terms of who gets up and introduces people and stuff like that. But Murray's doing the one in San Francisco, so he'll be there if people listening go along.
Very cool. I know that you both kind of tag-teamed at the social media marketing conference with sort of the broader umbrella, so it'll be good to see you both in action again. This might be a good segue to talk a little bit more about conference content. And Mark, if you don't mind, I would love for you to hang out in the conversation because I think I'd like to come back to you again, if that's okay. Can you hang with us for a bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. So in terms of beyond Mark, Brian, myself, what other things can people expect from the conference? And I'll toss that to you, Luke or Murray, to take as a question.
I think if that's okay, I'll take this. So for us, running the conferences, when we just decided we were going to run the conferences, one of the reasons was that we'd been to lots of social media conferences where people said that social media was great, Facebook was great, you must be doing it for your company. For us, just like an email, just as we were talking about with email, it's got to be about great content. If you're going to take the time off, if you're going to pay to come to the events, we've got to make sure that every time you come back, every time you come, there is great content. You're going to learn about things that you didn't know about before, and that you really want to come to the event. So we really try and dive in as much as possible and interview as many people as possible before we put the event on as to what are the key topics that you need to know about within the space that we're looking at, and what are the important bits on from a strategic perspective, but as a marketer, what are the things that you could be doing within the space that would actually enable you to improve the performance for your company's marketing or your individual marketing if it's from an individual's perspective, and who has great case studies, who's doing good work. And then enable to bring together a day which sort of runs through the topic. So going from the theory to some case studies and some how-tos so that you can really get an overview of it as well as finding out the best practices and then working out how to do that. And we find that formula with bringing in the leading people in the field enables people to really learn from it, but also means that when we're running future conferences or future events, they want to come back to it and they share the experience with their friends. So we're all about high quality content and making sure that is the bit that shines through from the day.
Yeah, I know that the last conference I participated in that you and Luke and Influence people put together, amazing buzz about a one-day conference. It was incredible. And I think it's really clever to do the one day. So sort of like boot camp, you know, you get all of the information you can and it's sort of a download, if you will, of all of these ideas and concepts based on as much, you know, as you say, really good content that's based on some sort of fact, either a study or a case study, examples of real life. And so I think that that's what people can expect as well, is that there will be a high quality in terms of speakers and content, and it's been a very thoughtful process in terms of who you've brought in as speakers. So I think you know that's
Jennifer, just to chime in there as well. I mean, one of the things, although we do also try and we do put the day together quite sort of strategically, we plan it through, but we also try and mix it up a bit as well, because you don't want to hear the same old people agreeing with each other as well. So we do have some people and some sessions in there to sort of turn people around a bit. I mean, I think Mark's session will do that to some extent, certainly when he comes along to the social media monitoring conferences we're doing later in the year, where you've got all these high-tech solutions and monitoring is one of these topics that's really flying at the moment. Whereas Mark's come in with what is a really, really user-friendly, simple solution for monitoring, which pulls the rug out to an extent from a lot of the higher-powered monitoring solutions. So I'm hoping that Mark's going to come in with Constant Contact and sort of just open a few eyes at that event. And we've got other people coming in for the social email one who'll do that kind of thing as well. So we've got Chase McMichael from Infinigraph, who's going to be talking about social data and how that can be matched up with social media data to achieve incredible results and stuff. And this is quite cutting edge stuff as well. So I think there's a lot of people going to find that fascinating.
And I think that it will probably encourage them to check out the monitoring session, because I know myself, I've had such deep experience with the whole monitoring space, and I've had, for those that are listening that are long, have listened for some time, when we had a VC from Matrix Partners, David Salk, who actually is half English, half South African, which for sports fans must be, and if from that perspective, must be a nightmare. It's interesting that he was talking about, in terms of social media monitoring, this one unified dashboard where, sort of analytics as well as your conversations that are, the two-way conversation, and everything else is unified into one platform, and whether or not that's actually happening, and looking at the acquisitions that have happened in the space. And it makes me think back, tying back to what Brian Solis said earlier about the concept of that unified email inbox that Mike Arrington talked about years ago, and implored Facebook to have a better email sort of system or inbox than it's had before. Want to turn back to Mark, and since Luke alluded to it, maybe let you talk a little bit more about what specifically you're going to focus on at the conference so people get a real taste of it.
Yeah, well, certainly for the social email marketing conference, what I want to demonstrate is that we're seeing an incredible success with our small business customers and nonprofits with email marketing, and we're seeing really incredible results with their social media marketing when done appropriately. We're seeing a lot of our customers frustrated with social media marketing because they're not seeing the results right away, and so we're really trying to help educate them on how to leverage it properly. But what we do know is that email marketing works, social media marketing works, but what happens when you integrate the two? And that's where it gets really exciting. That's where we're seeing really innovative stuff going on, and we're seeing really incredible results. And that's what I plan on ultimately sharing at this conference.
So you talked about one case study earlier. I think it would be interesting to talk about if you have, you know, an example that you can think of where integration has occurred, where you can kind of explain a little bit more what you mean when you say integration, because that's another thing that I think about when we talk about integrating the two. What does integration really mean? So from your perspective over at Constant Contact, and as someone who's been at a leader in terms of being a entrepreneur in this space prior, what does that mean for you? What does the word integration mean?
Well, what it means for me, so we talked earlier about the desire for the end user perhaps to have a unified communication platform, maybe one channel to manage them all. And certainly that's what we were trying to achieve with Nutshell Mail, and for a huge segment of the audience, that is exactly the solution they're looking for. When it comes to the marketer, the person who's publishing the content, and hopefully listening and putting some thought behind how they engage, but also putting some pretty interesting content out there, there's definitely a strong demand for one channel to manage them all. I publish something in one place, and it gets out to all my channels because my customers are everywhere, and some of them are choosing to engage with me through Facebook and some through email and some through Twitter. But as a small business, and I'm running a business with 10 employees, but I am the CEO, I am the CFO, I am the COO, I'm head of HR, and I'm the chief marketing officer as well. I don't have a lot of time. So if there's an easy way for me to listen to what people are saying and from those conversations determine what I want to push out there, and then have that ability to publish something and it goes out to all my channels and I'm able to measure that, that's something really intriguing. And that's really, Nutshell Mail fills in a big part of that, but we're working at Constant Contact on developing something even more powerful. So when we talk about integrating email and social media, there's a bunch of different things we're doing. One, you publish an email newsletter. We also make sure that that newsletter is discoverable on Facebook and Twitter and other channels. Two, when a customer reads your email newsletter, they like what you have to say. Well, let's enable them to share that with their peers. And it's really amazing. If you just ask your customers and actually enable them through a click of a button to do that, they will share. They really wear it. So long as you're providing a good customer experience, it ultimately comes down to that. But then once you get your customers to like you on Facebook and Twitter, how can you develop an even deeper relationship? Well, you want to get their email, or you want to get them to call you on the phone. So there's interesting applications that we're delivering. For example, our Facebook Join My Mailing List application has basically helped our customers to I think the numbers like over 250,000 people have actually submitted to join our customers' email list through Facebook. So it's very effective when they're all combined together.
Interesting. Murray and Luke, I want to first say, I mentioned earlier about the high-quality content on Brian Solis' blog. Murray, I subscribe to yours as well, and very, very interesting. You always give me something to think about especially because of the affiliate tilt to some of the emails, which I think people forget about as well. Separate topic, but I wanted to call out that you have great content and people should head over to your blog and subscribe however it is that they take in content. Luke, I haven't actually looked to see if you have a blog. I would imagine that you do.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to check it out now.
If you're into monitoring, then I do quite a lot of posts on social media monitoring.
So I would expect that both of you probably, you'd probably fall in a similar category again where the quality of the content is very high. But I want to, get back to, sort of the conference basics. So when we talk about integrating, you know, as conference organizers, and either of you can kind of take the lead on this, you know, how you really see the word integration fitting in. You know, what does it really mean to integrate social media and email?
Okay, I'll take that one. I'm Luke. Point myself out. It's an interesting one because for most people, I don't think there has been a great deal of integration. So I think for most people today, it's maybe, you know, having a kind of share this button within their emails, or you know, a very, very sort of superficial level of integration. But you know, I think tools like Nutshell Mail and others are actually going to be driving that forward. And if you think about it, most of the social networks that we know and love today, even with Twitter included, have included a whole huge element of outreach through email. And I think there's been this, people have sort of ignored it somewhat, the fact that actually what's the thing that gets you to go back to Twitter quite often? Oh, it's the fact that you've got an email, you know, that somebody's followed you and you just go and check it out. And I think sort of taking that into more of our marketing tools. So, there's the whole concept of social CRM that I think is going to be, well, it's already huge and going to get bigger over the next couple of years. But sort of, you know, integrating those two things and harnessing the value of both email and social media and the recommendations that you have through social media, I think is going to be huge. So I don't have the answer at the moment, but that's why we're holding the event, really, because I think there is, in that room, on the 17th of September, we'll have the people with the answers. So by the end of the day, I'm thinking we should all come out with at least one answer, probably many answers.
Hopefully, there'll be enough to think about and keep people continually thinking about it. Marie, I want to get your take as well.
I think that that last bit that Luke alluded to, one of the great things about organizing these conferences is that we do get to speak to people at the cutting edge, and we're able to bring together experts, often from around the world, to really focus on a topic. And I think that hopefully we'll all learn a lot, and usually everyone, even the speakers, learn a lot from speaking to each other. There are lots of things... such as, Chase is going to be talking about really how to segment take down your lists and actually work out which customers like to listen to which types of communication, and then going back through adding on which types of customers share which types of communication in which platforms will mean that hopefully in the future, marketers are going to have to be much more sophisticated about the type of content that they do communicate through email, because as we get busier and busier, we will unsubscribe from communication that we aren't absolutely interested in. And whether it's we will no longer necessarily to subscribe to a brand's communication, but we'll subscribe to parts of communication from a brand, whether that's delivered in whichever medium it is, we'll choose. And the integration of email and social media will not just be about email being sort of pumped out with one type of message. Those communications will be collected, and brands will be looking at what we're talking about within Twitter and Facebook and other types of social media, and actually then using that in a sophisticated way to create the messages that they're sending out to us, and only sending us the communication that we like to receive, in the format, whether it's long format or whether it's, as you say, shorter format, that we like to receive those communications in it. So I'm looking forward to an age where communication is far more sophisticated than it is right now, and email is part of that mix, and how that mix is drawn together is really where we're going to start to explore on the 17th.
Very good. And I know I've kept you guys all over time, so I hope we can go a couple more minutes. I just wanted to go back to Mark, since you're close to the customer and helping people manage the whole, you know, the email life cycle, if you will. Maybe an example, you don't have to name the company that's perhaps doing something that you've had to help course correct on, But you know, all you know, people are very, very sensitive, as hopefully most know. And if you're in the audience and you're listening and you're not aware, people are very, very sensitive to which emails they get. And of course, there's laws around how you can email people, and you can't, and you know, you're not supposed to spam people, and you know, there's different restrictions in this country and in others. And you know, I think, you know, one of the things I know that with some of my clients is kind of reining them in. So like once you've opened the Pandora's box of starting to think about email, they know that the C-suite has already signed off on email because they have some sort of client that they're using for you know, for managing their email database, so they can sort of easily blast out messages. And I sometimes have to rein them back in and go, okay, wait a minute, what is it that we are providing that's of value? What's the value add here for somebody to respond to the email that you just sent out? Do you have examples that you would give of different client scenarios that maybe people haven't thought of when you're actually working day to day?
Yeah, you know, we really pride ourselves on how easy our tools are to use for those that perhaps, you know, aren't the most tech savvy, for those people that don't have a lot of time. But what we learn is that tools can be useless if you don't teach people how to use them properly. And in fact, they can be quite dangerous. So we're out there every single day through our blog, through our Learning Center webinars. We have 22 regional development directors across the United States hosting seminars every single day on how to use email and social media marketing effectively. And you know, we tell people, just because someone's a contact in your personal inbox, it doesn't mean that they said that they want to get business communications from you. So it's very important how you collect, who you decide to send messages to. It's very important that you use an email service provider, whether it be Constant Contact or somebody else, so that you can stay compliant with the law, but most importantly, so that you're not coming across as a spammer, so that it's easy for your customers to opt in or out. As far as specific case studies, I definitely have a lot, but one that I wanted to share that I thought was super relevant to this conversation, because we're talking about social and email marketing, understanding how to segment your customers, and some of our customers are actually getting into customer segmentation, choosing to communicate one way to their email subscribers and a different way to their Twitter followers and a different way to their Facebook fans. And there's a nail salon in Austin, Texas called I Love Nails. And I thought that the owner of I Love Nails did one of the more innovating things. And they actually segmented their communications to discover where their customers are and which channel is most effective. So they sent out an email newsletter through Constant Contact that said, hey, if you come in and say, I love nails, then we'll give you $20 off. And on Twitter, they published, if you come in and say, I love Dominique, who's the owner, I will give you $20 off. And on Facebook, they said, if you come in and say, I love, you know, getting my nails done, then you'll get $20 off. And people were coming in flocks for this great deal. And Dom was behind the counter checking off Facebook, Twitter, email, trying to see which channel was most effective. And I think the results of that case study will be really fascinating to everybody. I'm not going to share them right now. You got to come to the conference to hear what's actually It's pretty revealing and showing how some small business customers are using some innovative strategies that are free, basically, to find out who their customers are, where they are, and what works to get them to walk through that door, which, again, you know, the job of the marketer is not to get as many followers or likes or email subscribers. It's to get as many people to purchase from them as possible, and we always have to come back to that.
Yeah, and I think there are some interesting assumptions that marketers make too, that I'll be talking about in terms of generational marketing. So that, I think there's this assumption that from some that Generation Y is on Twitter, and really it's a Generation X tool. If you look at the latest statistics on the age groups using it. And I was recently in a real life situation with a company where I had a young aspiring to be a marketing manager giving me ideas about how to reach fraternities and sororities in a particular market about a particular product. And when we, you know, when I brought up the subject of Twitter, it's like, oh, well, none of my friends use Twitter. But yet I think there's this expectation around what channels people use. So I think that that's really clever in the sense that you do, you know, getting information is part of the way of sending your message out. You actually find out which channels people are maybe listening to or paying attention to the most. Very, very clever.
Yeah, I was going to say that as well. I mean, it's definitely what they and how they're listening as well. One thing that I found with businesses here in the UK is that they'll immediately assume that by using, you know, Twitter or Facebook, they're going to hit this younger demographic. But actually, when you talk to people of that age group, they're not actually using it for business purposes. They're not expecting necessarily to receive those kind of marketing messages. And actually, you know, it's much more useful for the people, you know, as you say, sort of perhaps in their 30s and 40s, who are really, really into using it as a business tool. And that's what I've certainly found with the B2B clients that I've worked with and stuff here.
Mm.
That it is definitely the older generations that are making use of it.
Luke, anything you want to chime in on?
Yeah, sorry, that was Luke.
Oh, sorry. I'm going mental. Murray, anything you want to chime in on?
Well, I'm hoping that by the time we get to the conference, lots of people are going to be coming to the conference and saying to Mark, I love Mark, and seeing what he's able to provide for them. I think it goes back to what I was saying that earlier, that it's really important to find out how people like to digest information, what they like to digest, and where they like to digest it. Some people are really happy to talk about a brand on Twitter or an email, but maybe not on Facebook. I know some people who hate using Facebook for work, and some people who love using Facebook for work. So it really is trying to dig down and see, you know, who likes doing what where, and then finding out where they do. And actually, there are some great case studies where, as Mark alluded to, if you find out where they like to talk about it, then you can engage those specific groups in the specific areas. So,
I think it's interesting. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, there's also the language that you use. There's a great presentation online by Dan Zarella, who's at HubSpot now, I think, which is called The Science of Retweets, where he goes into the language that you can use in tweets in order to be retweeted. And that's fascinating, just to see that a change of word, a change of phrase, completely changes how your message is perceived and how far it travels.
And that has a really interesting overlap in some of my experiences in the social media monitoring space, in terms of categorizing the sentiment of someone's response online, especially with Twitter having a limited character count. You can imagine, you know, most people that know me, if I do dot, dot, dot after something, know that I'm kind of, there's a specific thing that I'm trying to accomplish in terms of the kinds of response or conversation I want to get people thinking about. But how that might translate in terms of sentiment is something entirely different. The nice thing about email is that you do have more space to kind of, you know, explain, give higher value content, and maybe kick off a conversation in a more direct way. And one thing I found is interesting, I just wanted to chime in with an example that I'll be talking a little bit more about. It's with a company that I've worked with that really is about boomers buying, or baby boomers buying a product for their parents, so the greatest generation, and the greatest generation coming back to the company and saying, we want these social features, for specific reasons, and a lot of it had to do with photo albums. They liked seeing kids grow up through the generations that they may have, you know, may have known when they were little, and now they're adults and have kids of their own. And I find that really interesting how email can be this introduction to social media for certain groups of individuals. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's spot on. Exactly what as you were saying. I mean, I saw recently there was. You know, we keep alluding to monitoring tools, but it seems to be a really booming industry at the moment. But there's a solution come out that is actually connected to Excel. It's just an Excel spreadsheet, effectively, that you can track your social media interactions into. And it's another example of, you know, yeah, there's a generation that will be using Excel spreadsheets and very comfortable with that, but aren't comfortable with an online dashboard that they have to log into and configure. And so, yeah, I think always with technology, if you can draw it back to the tools that people use, and this is exactly what Nutshell Mail is doing as well to an extent, then you'll cross the generations. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to your talk a lot, actually.
Fantastic. I've actually already gotten one LinkedIn invitation that I have accepted from a lovely lady listening to the show. So lots of interaction happening online about this conversation. I'm going to let you guys go because we started late and I've kept you late now. And it's Friday in London for our two gentlemen that are on the call from the UK. Oh gosh, even worse. And Mark from Constant Contact, who's just a wealth, and Nutshell Mail, who is just a wealth of information. I really appreciate you guys tuning in. So let's make sure we let people know where they can learn more about the conference. There's still space available, right? If people want to join in, is that right?
Yeah, it's there are tickets there, and so the URL is socialmediamarketing.co.uk/social email.
And that's all linked to on my blog as well, and as well on our Blog Talk Radio page. iTunes folks will have to come to my blog to get the link, but they can certainly go again to socialmediamarketing.co.uk/social email. Tickets are available. Last time the event sold out, and I know a lot of people, San Francisco is notorious for people kind of buying at the last minute, so folks, get your ticket if you can come, and certainly monitor it on Twitter. The hashtag for this event, I believe, is the same as the last event that you held, SMMSF, is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
So people can look for that hashtag day of, or if you're at the conference, please feel free to join in the conversation through that back channel, because that was really interesting as well, sitting in the audience and watching what people were commenting on. And also, you know, you guys were great in having folks there that were documenting everything, you know, kind of the interesting factoids that some of the speakers were sharing. Any other speakers you want to talk about that are going to be there that folks might be interested in seeing besides Mark, myself, Chase we talked about, we had Brian Solis on earlier. Anyone else, just to whet appetites?
We still have, obviously, Kristen from Strongmail, who've done a lot of social media work. We have Cafe, who has been an expert in email, is working in that field since, I think, 2000, maybe 2001. And she's going to be looking at across a whole range of email platforms and giving a sort of overview of the different tools and how they work and which ones work best. We have Manny from Quanzu, who have another sort of sharing application, and they've created all kinds of surveys and have all kinds of clients using those tools. We have a couple of other speakers coming on. One of them is going to go into even more depth about social media CRM and how to fully integrate CRM into your systems right the way through from sort of customer research through to the messages that you put out within your email channel. So a whole range of
Have you mentioned Flowtown as well?
Flowtown?
Yeah, Flowtown from Flowtown. They have an application which enables you to I said, if you upload your email list, you can actually then work out who's on Twitter, who's on Facebook, who's on LinkedIn, I think now MySpace, and it will actually also give you their specific user identities too. So if you're not sure if your email list, email database is using, is connected through social media, then their facility enables you to do that and see that instantly.
And that's something that Brian is connected to as well. So interesting that he brought that up earlier, and we're talking about it now, because that is a really powerful and interesting technology that's come out. So that I think gives people a really great taste of what they can expect. And hopefully we'll join in the conversation at the event at the Hotel Nikko September 17th in San Francisco. Of course, you can go to influencepeople.com, I guess, to find out more about the conferences, Luke, that you had mentioned that you'll be putting on in other parts of the country, for example, Boston.
There's actually a full list. It's even easier, actually. If you go to socialmediamarketing.co.uk, you'll get
okay.
the full list of all the conferences we're doing, including the one in San Francisco and the ones in Boston, et cetera.
Yes, so very, very, and again, I can't emphasize enough, really high-quality speakers, so I think it's very much worth your time, not to over-promote, but you know, speaking from experience, it was a very good experience that I had the last time, and I really appreciate you inviting me to speak, and I thank you so much for joining the program. Mark from Constant Contact, Marie Newlands, who was one of the conference organizers, as well as a prolific blogger and social media expert, as well as Luke Brindley-Jones, who teaches as well as blogs and is very involved in the UK as well. And I really appreciate you taking the time and working through the technical difficulties for all of us to connect. It looks like the audience has gotten a lot out of it.
Cool. That was a great pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Guys.
All right, so I'll let you guys go on for the day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right. So, again, our folks from the social media or integrating social email event that will be happening September 17th at the Hotel Nikko. Hopefully you've gotten some useful insights that you can take into practice right away. And want to thank everyone that's tuned in and listened and stuck through us through the technical issues I had getting into being able to let everyone on the program. Mobile technology isn't always perfect. But in any event, thank you for tuning into the A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay. Please feel free to connect with us on Blog Talk Radio or on iTunes, as well as on my blog that I had mentioned earlier. That's Jennifer Lindsay, SAY.com, where there you'll be able to find a collection of resources and links that talk about this program. And be sure to tune in again this time next week. I'll be announcing the speaker this week on my blog, and we'll hopefully see you tuning in at that point. So have a wonderful weekend, and thank you for tuning in.